guys. This is Drew and...
This is Brad.
Once again, abducting you for another Unidentified Flying Podcast. Today,
I like the abducting.
Yeah. I said it was a stroke of brilliance right there.
Yeah.
I'm going to let you talk for a minute. You've got some stuff that you brought up to me just before we kind of came on here, so you know a lot more about it than I do. But like I said, I've got bad opinions on everything, so I can
it's going to be one of those episodes where we're going to talk about more than one thing anyway. So.
Yeah, but this is a little...
If we veer off course, it's no big deal.
This is local news that probably should have been national news that...
And you didn't even know anything about it, really.
Yeah, well, I knew initially of it. It kind of went by the wayside. I have a theory as to why it kind of maybe never got to the point of national news and just kind of disappeared. And then now I'm hearing about all these, I don't know how many months, I mean, close to a year later, maybe. I don't know that now it's been resolved. But yeah, I'll let you just, you go ahead. You kind of talk about
it. We're talking about the Holtzclaw case. And that's the guy that was convicted of rape for, I don't remember how many counts it was, but it was like there was a bunch of women he raped. He was a cop, and the big what I was telling you is, like, I think the big deal about it was they were all black. They were some were ladies of the night. Some weren't, but they were just maybe poor or just people that were like easy prey, and if they were going to like
quote unquote underprivileged people,
yeah, underprivileged, or if they were going to like bring something up against hell anybody as far as like charges or accusations, they could easily be written off. And like I said, he was a cop, and they actually convicted him for I don't remember how many counts it was. I think it was, I have to look it up.
But the lion's share of them, I assume.
Yeah, and that's what everyone was wondering, is like, is he actually going to get convicted of? Because cops get off a lot, or they don't get charges brought up against them in the first place. And like I said, people were wondering if this is actually going to happen. Plus, all these women were black.
Mm-hmm.
I just found it interesting that I'm like, it's an all-white jury. I mean, like you said, that doesn't always have to be the case, or it's not always weird. I would think it'd be better if they're at least represented by like one black guy or like one tan person is at least on the jury. But it doesn't have to be.
And I get that sentiment, but at the same time,
it's not going to always be the case. And especially,
I guess maybe I'm being too idealistic. I would hope that shouldn't matter. Because in my opinion, your race shouldn't be part of what is or isn't your peer group.
Yeah, I agree.
But it does. Maybe my head's in the clouds. I don't know. But go on. Well, I'll just say this. I remember initially hearing about it, and that this guy had basically taken advantage of his position as a police officer. He had like a prostitute or something that I guess he had either busted, or he knew she was a prostitute and decided to just, I already know this person's a prostitute, so not that she's necessarily broken the law right here and now, but I have every reason in the world to basically take control of her, and she's going to go along with it because she knows that I know she's a prostitute, and if a cop rolls up and says, hey, I need to talk to you, well, you're going to talk to him or you're going to, run. Yeah. So she talked to him. He basically took big advantage of all of it, basically made her perform sexual acts on him, etc. She decided, fuck this, I'm saying something. And then that just started like to snowball. Like other people came out and said, yeah, this guy did stuff to me too. And then this huge case basically got built up against this guy.
Yeah.
And then, at least locally, I didn't hear another thing about it. And I'm not saying that nobody locally said, reported it, but
yeah, I mean, like the night it happened, I remember it was on the news a lot.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know.
I remember him being arraigned in court. I saw that. They showed that on TV, him being arraigned initially.
Okay, yeah.
But this was, close to a year ago.
Mm-hmm.
I think it was like January, I think.
Was it that far back?
I'm not sure.
It's been months.
It's been a long time. And I think maybe... I mean, I don't know why it wouldn't have ever been national news, but I know with all the other police stuff across the country, maybe it just kind of faded into the background with people being, you know, killed by police and stuff like that. And we are, yeah, we are flyover country. Yeah. So, but I mean, you know, you had the stuff, you know, Ferguson, and then you had Baltimore, and then you had other little events here and there. And then, you know, you had, I mean, frankly, just other stuff that's just, you know, terrorist attacks here and there. I just think maybe it probably should have been national news because it was such an abuse of power.
And the fact that we are Oklahoma, too. Like, of all the places I would have thought that this guy would have actually got brought up and convicted, I wouldn't have said Oklahoma. I mean, it'd been that would not have been at the top of my list.
Yeah, I mean,
I would like to not have to go there and be like, oh, I think that, you know, yeah, Oklahoma, I mean, would be the first place.
The guys got off. I mean, I'm not shocked, really, because, I mean, we can talk, you know.
Well, it seems like they had
Rodney
pretty good
King,
evidence on
the guys who beat the hell out of Rodney King got off in L.A.
Yeah.
So, yeah. I mean, if we're talking politically speaking, I mean, if Oklahoma is the rightest state in the world, then California is the leftist state.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
I think it's just a matter of.
Like I said, I think it seemed like they had pretty good evidence.
Yeah, I don't think this guy had much.
And they didn't get him on every count. And I, you know, I saw some people reacting like, well, then those counts, the women must be lying. And I'm that's not always the case. Well, like, they might have not have had the evidence on that count. So
which, I mean, hey.
Why should they convict him on if they don't have the evidence for him? They're just going to lump him.
Yeah,
lump you know, you got to be objective.
Sure. And I'm not going to assume just because they didn't necessarily find the evidence that these people were lying. But, yeah. I mean, if there's evidence that they were
lying.
It's just
people have knee-jerk reactions, you know. They're like, oh.
Now, don't get me wrong. I think if somebody, you know, cries rape, I think, you know, hey, I'm sorry, but the onus is on, you know, you to prove it.
Yeah.
Because, you know, you're innocent until proven guilty.
Mm-hmm.
The whole notion of this, you know, listen and believe crap,
I don't mind some of that, but it's like the pendulum swung too far the other way where it's like someone gets accused of rape and, you know, that's horrible. I mean, rape's horrible, and especially if they did it, that's even worse, dude. I'm like, the guy especially needs to pay for that. But it's like they release both of their names, and we're all about protecting the victim. And it's like, they'll release the victim's name and they'll release the guy's name. So it's like, if the woman is lying,
I don't say you release anybody's name.
Yeah, exactly. That's what I'm leading up to. Is like, if say the woman is lying, well then this guy's tarnished.
Yeah.
Or vice versa, where it's like, maybe he actually did do it, and then, hey, this is the woman that was victimized. And then people go after her. She does anything that someone doesn't like. It's like they go after her. Why is she doing that? Like look at the Greg Hardy case, man. He basically paid his victim off.
And, hey, that's on her.
And that's fine. Yeah, that's totally fine.
As much as I think he's a piece of shit.
People will go after that woman and be like, well, look what she's doing. She just left and she's off having a good time with the money he's having. I'm like, why wouldn't you be doing that?
Well,
they actually try to make her sound bad for doing that. I'm like,
well,
if that's on her,
let's be honest, she doesn't do any favors for victims.
I would
because
say so.
She didn't. Yeah. She decided not to stand on principle.
But
she decided
to stand on. I can't
blame
her either because
I agree.
If I've seen Greg Hardy and just how he's acted on the Dallas Cowboys sideline.
Oh yeah,
guy's a fucking monster.
Yeah, the guy's a piece of shit.
If you read any of the reports on what happened on that incident, it's like he had all sorts of machine guns and all sorts of shit right there, and it was scaring. She was scared for her fucking life, and I can't blame her.
Yeah, no, that's fine, but. I don't think she has any she has no room to complain about anything to do with Greg Hardy anymore because at the end of the day,
well, it's been settled.
She took a paycheck.
Yeah,
fine.
There was a settlement.
That's fine. She had the option to either try to legally pursue it or to take some sort of compensation for the hell she went through. And maybe you could say at the end of all things, the compensation wasn't necessarily good enough because it's just money, but she felt for where she was in her life that I'm just going to take it. I'm going to avoid all the bullshit that's going to come with a long, drawn-out trial.
Hopefully
I'll take
him.
This money. I don't have to see him anymore, hopefully, and I can just go live my life. And that's great. I'm happy that she was at least comfortable enough with that outcome to take it, and now she can try to move on with her life. I get it. But at the same time, as much as in the court of public opinion I may think Greg Hardy's a piece of shit, I think the NFL shouldn't do anything to him because he's been, by every legal entity, he's been exonerated. To say that, like, she took money to not do anything. So as far as principles go, with which you know, all these notions of,
and they,
you know,
and they tried to suspend him. They suspended him, what, like, 11 games?
And they
did. Games.
And then they got it, not, they curtailed got it, down it. To four. Yeah. And I mean, the guy has not carried himself the best way possible. But you know what? I mean,
it's basically right now. It's just that it's PR disaster for the Cowboys.
And yeah, and the NFL too.
Because and the NFL, yeah. Because
now, granted, if the NFL just wanted to come out and say, "Dude, you can't play," I'd be like, "Well, it is their league."
Yeah.
He's under. He has
That's
no.
That's why they
throw
his ass on the. Exempt list or whatever last year.
Yeah. So, I mean, I don't know. I think Greg Hardy's a piece of shit, and I don't have any problem with her taking the money she took, but I do think when you do take money like that, I don't know that you're doing anybody, like, other victim. Not that you're under any obligation to do anybody any favors.
Yeah, yeah.
But I can understand people, you know, like, oh, well, she just took some money. Well, I understand, you know, and I've never been on the end of it going, like, gosh, this is going to consume my life for the next, I don't know how many years.
Yeah,
and
much
say,
less if you're traumatized or whatever.
Yeah, exactly. So, you know, I don't blame her for taking money. I really don't. But,
no, no. It's,
but
it's sad, like, it didn't end up going further with his trial.
Yeah.
It's like any settlement you hear where it's like, oh, man, these people have a case. And they settled, and no one hears anything else about it.
Yeah, and I mean,
sweep it under the rug. Life goes on.
Which just goes to show, like, I mean, hell, it's kind of...
That's what you're...
It's kind of, see, it's one of those, too, where I kind of say, should that even be allowed?
What, settlements?
Let's just take Greg Hardy, for instance. Greg Hardy is a rich person. Somebody accuses him of, you know, all kinds of assault. I don't know if it was sexual assault. I know he was just supposed to beating the hell out of her.
No, he threw her up against a wall and type of thing.
And roughed her up.
Yeah.
The police are called in. The police investigate. The police collect and gather evidence. Greg Hardy pays her money. She doesn't press charges. Should that be allowed, or should it be... Because, I mean, that's basically saying if you have enough money and you can convince the person who is accusing you, you can make it all go away... And the police just go, oh, well, there's all this crime here, but they don't want to press charges. And they just step away from it.
Yeah, and
you know what I mean?
I can't remember, like, there was some kind of weird thing because it was in North Carolina, and it went to trial. And it was like some kind of jury trial. I don't remember the exact specifics, but it has to go to, like, another level. He was already convicted, where it was like, yeah, you did this. The jury found him guilty. And then they were going to have to go to, like, step two or... the actual conviction or whatever, and then that's when he paid her off. And since she wasn't going to show up for the prosecution to testify, well, there was no case is over. And that's another thing. It kind of goes to show you, like, it depends on what state you do this in.
Yeah, like, it just seems like at the end of the day, it was just a big waste of taxpayer money.
Yeah,
like, it was a sideshow for taxpayers. Yeah. To just foot the bill for.
Exactly.
And again, I'm yeah, okay, she's not, if she doesn't want to testify, she doesn't want to testify, but you know, I think maybe at a certain point, if you report a crime and we found evidence of it, we can legally compel you to testify. Yeah. Like, well, if you're not going to talk, then you're in contempt.
Mm-hmm.
You've reported a crime, we found evidence of that crime, and now all of a sudden, because of money... I mean, anywhere else, isn't that called hush money?
Yeah.
I mean, if I... I mean,
I agree.
So it's kind of... And I'm not trying to make her the criminal here. I'm just saying...
Why does the other side get to shut
up? Do we
want
to punish these people or not?
Yeah, yeah.
And by do we want to punish these people, I mean guys like Greg Hardy. Or, you know, if she made false claims against him. Which, people with money and influence, you know, men with influence and power typically, if a woman falsely accuses them of something, I believe that, you know, men with the means will say, here's money to just shut up. We both know I didn't do anything. Here's money to just go away.
Yeah, yeah, that would happen too, yeah.
Whenever, and say the police look into it and they're like, we're not finding, like, you know, the whole thing with the, I'd love to hear this whole thing with the rape accusations at University of Virginia. Mm-hmm. With the Rolling Stone article. Is anybody going to be prosecuted there? I mean, look what they did to those kids that were in that fraternity. I'm not trying to be like the defender of frat boys, but
yeah,
these guys didn't do anything wrong. It was shown that there's just zero evidence. And that, in fact, that this was all fabricated. Mm-hmm. And everybody just kind of gets to walk away from it. And these frat boys are like, well,
hey. Well, it goes to show you again where it's like, why make it a big public thing? We're like, hey, we release. Hey, they're accused of doing this. And we live in a
sensational culture.
I know. I mean, and like I said, we all get to weigh in on it before we even know a damn thing about it.
And
we've all formed our opinions and we each take sides, you know.
And I guess maybe, again, that's, you know, maybe my head's in the fucking clouds. I don't think it should matter if you have one, you know, brown person on your jury, and I would hope that we'll prosecute these people anyway. Like, if I was a prosecutor, I'd be pissed. I'd be like, I can't do anything now because hush money was paid.
Yeah.
But somehow it's legal. It's okay.
Yeah, exactly.
He paid a settlement, and now we're just going to act like nothing fucking happened.
Yeah.
Did the dude break the fucking law or not?
I know, man.
I mean, I thought Lady Justice was supposed to be blind, dude. She had a sword in one hand and a fucking scale in the other, dude.
Yeah, I know.
And she weighed your shit and said, you can't put money on this scale, dude. You're done.
That's why I wanted to bring up that Holtzclaw thing, where it was like, you know, hey, justice was actually served here.
Which is good. I'm glad. Yeah. This guy sounded like a real fucking animal.
Yeah.
And
yeah, he was, dude.
Now he's gonna be, hopefully.
He was crying when they were reading it out.
Well,
I mean, he was bawling. Like, he went from like, oh, I'm all right, to like, man, he was just a baby, dude. And
guess what? You know,
thought about that shit.
It's, you know, and again, I'm not trying to conflate the two here, but, and again, he did this to a whole bunch of people. Greg Hardy, the whole thing was one person, but a guy with money. A guy without money.
Yeah.
One of them, the full extent of the law is applied to them all the way through a jury trial, where this dude is getting how many years? 200 and something years?
Well, they haven't actually done his...
Oh, his sentencing yet?
Sentencing yet.
Well, this guy's going to be put away for a long time.
Yeah. Well, it would help.
And Greg Hardy, 4-game suspension.
Yeah.
And his wallet's a little
lighter. And that's something that you're talking about the NFL. It's like with him and like with Ray Rice, they knew all that stuff before. It turned into a PR disaster.
Now, Ray Rice, dude, Ray Rice to me is a bit different. It's a bit different for a few reasons. This is going to get into a whole bunch of shit.
That's all right. It's complicated, man. That's
as much as I think Ray Rice shouldn't have hit her, she hit him first. And any more, it seems today that, if justice is blind, it shouldn't matter if you're a man or a woman. If you strike somebody, it's almost like, you know,
violence shouldn't be happening from any side.
Yeah, if I were to punch you, and I punch you, and you're just like, if somebody punches me, I defend myself. And let's say I hit you, and man, I do nothing to you. You're just like, what the hell? And then you clog me, knock the hell out of me. You break my orbital socket. I'm out cold on the ground. And at the end of the day, the police will come, review evidence, look at everything, get statements, and say, yeah, I'm the guilty one. I swung on you. I attacked you. You defended yourself. The only difference is you punched a lot better than I did.
Yeah.
So my punch against you did nothing but, in the end, just kind of prompt you to defend yourself. Your punch against me put me in the hospital for weeks, and maybe I don't see so well out of my left eye anymore. The law would be applied, you know, they would say, you had every right to strike me, because it doesn't take into account the fact that I did no damage to you. But then if you put a woman in the mix, well, you can't... I mean, it's almost
kinda
like
what you're talking about, like the pendulum swung too far, where, like, say, with the Joe Mixon thing.
Yeah, supposedly, by all accounts, especially
people who are like for, like, finally going after the men because they haven't been gone after.
Yeah.
They will act like... You know, if she hit him, right? That's what happened.
I think she slapped him and spit in his face, and then he just decked
But her. She didn't get charged for anything.
No, and the DA specifically said
that's what I'm saying.
Things would be different if this was two men.
Exactly,
and I'm like, well,
yeah.
What the fuck, dude? I thought justice was supposed to be blind.
The pendulum swung so far because like the men or if they're rich or whatever have never been gone after, and they finally are. So it's like they'll just. It's
well,
all the man's
and I don't
fault.
Know if
she needs to totally not be charged.
Yeah, well,
and,
we're going to feel
like
bad
saying,
for her.
Was,
we're not going to apply the law to
her. Blind, they
yeah.
both would have gotten something.
Or he wouldn't, because as much as we could talk about the virtues of being a man and being like, hey, which I've been slapped by women before. Mm-hmm. I've been attacked by women before. I have never hit a woman, and I can see scenarios where I would. I mean, if I really feel like I'm in danger here, or if a woman ever hit me and I felt like I don't know that I'm going to be conscious much longer, I better start swinging.
Yeah.
Because I'm not going to let, I don't give a fuck who it is. I'm not going to allow myself to be unconscious if I can help it around anybody who's seeking to not give a fuck about my personal safety.
Yeah.
Somebody's got to look out for me, and if I'm not going to do it, then who can I expect to do it? So, as much as I like to think, you know, if some woman came up to me and slapped me, which I've been slapped before, I'm not just looking to haul off and hit a woman. I'm just looking to get away from them.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's what any sensible and honest man should do. I'm not going to... I'll say this. I think any sensible and honest man, if a dude swings on you, you defend yourself. You don't immediately go into... Let me try to defuse the situation now that it's become physical, because you have to assume from man to man, like, if you're going to make it a physical confrontation, I'd be stupid to underestimate you. I need to defend myself.
Yeah, I understand.
But to look at a woman and go, I mean, I've got 100 pounds on you, I'm like nearly, you know, I'm like a half a foot taller than you, I'm obviously a lot stronger than you.
That's what makes it
you
so heinous.
You slap me. But then again, it's akin to, what if a small dude hits a massive dude? Like, if I walked up to The Rock and tried to punk him and slap him, and he just beats the fuck out of me, nobody would bat an eye. And that's what I'm kind of like with women. I hope that the... And it seems like the...
We could press charges for assault, I guess.
Well, yeah, but then, you know, if anything ever comes out, like, yeah, you know,
That's what's happening with Okafor, that Jahlil Okafor, that guy in a... He's a lottery pick for the Philadelphia 76ers.
Yeah.
Somebody was, like, heckling him, and he was like, hey, the 76ers suck. And he got into it and punched this dude. And guess what?
That's on him, though. He made things physical first. That's the thing. People shouldn't feel like because words hurt. No, words are fucking words.
Yeah.
No matter what, I don't give a fuck what it is. Somebody says to you, verbal, like a verbal expression, never gives you any right. I don't care what it is. I don't care if somebody throws the worst, meanest racial slur at you. That does not give you any fucking right. Now,
to what, go up and deck him? And
would I think the person's stupid if they were shocked that somebody hit him because they said it? No. I'd be like, yeah, you're an idiot, dude. You'd have to expect that something bad's going to happen if you run your fucking mouth. However, people don't have the right to hit you because they don't like the words you say. They're fucking words. I mean, that's all they are. Words are not bullets, as South Park might have you believe if you've never seen that episode.
Yeah.
Words are not bullets. So, I think they need to be treated just as they are. Words. You want to talk shit back to somebody who's talking shit to you? That's great. Or if you just want to say, dude, I got no fucking time for you, I don't give a fuck what you say. That's the smart thing. Who gives a fuck what this pleb is saying to Jahlil Okafor?
Yeah.
He's a fucking pleb, dude.
It's probably going to be the biggest financial windfall for that guy in
his life. Because Jahlil Okafor really fucked up and swung on him.
Exactly,
Which was stupid of him. But if that guy would have swung on him, and Okafor would have beat the hell out of him, I'd be like, man, I hope that guy doesn't get a fucking cent. Because you swung on somebody. You made it physical. You would have given Jahlil Okafor every reason in the world to say, I'm protecting myself. If that means grinding this dude's face into the fucking dirt and making sure he's no longer a threat, I'm cool with it.
Yeah.
Because he presumed to attack you. You have every right to make sure that guy can't attack you anymore. Now, I'm not saying you got any right to kill him. I'm saying you've got every... Now, if there's, you know... extenuating circumstances, you know, ergo they're attempting to use deadly force or lethal force, or I mean, it's one of those, dude, you know, how much force are you allowed to use? Like, if you get jumped by 5 guys and say you get one of them in a headlock and you're like, I could break this guy's neck and it's over for this guy, but there's still 4 people, how much can you get away with? I almost wouldn't have a problem with somebody doing that, because I'm like, five people are attacking.
What was that guy's name in Florida that, you know, they had the circle of defense around him, and the you know, the guy in the hoodie.
You talking about Trayvon Martin?
Trayvon Martin, thank
oh,
you.
Oh, yeah. Oh, the stand your ground thing?
The stand your ground thing, yeah. I mean, that's where all that comes into play. It depends on what state you're in.
Yeah.
Depends on where they come down. It's a like a can of worms, dude. You were saying, like, you weren't going to have say much to say about this.
I mean, now I'm fucking
that's
just
what I'm saying. That's
why
I was like,
it.
Don't worry, man. We're just going to bring this up, and we can go for a while
that's
on this.
That's fair, yeah.
But that's the whole point. It's complicated. The shit happens way too much. whether it's just violence or domestic violence or...
Yeah, I'm a big fan of applying the law equally to people. And I think I just don't like this idea, this notion that it seems like a lot of women... I'm not saying all women. I'm just saying it seems like a lot of women feel like they can get away with a lot more. You know, I can throw a drink in a guy's face, slap him, spit on him, and man, if he touches me, it's going to be, I'm going straight, you know, we're in the money.
Yeah, I know.
We're in the money. And I'm like, you know.
But then, the counter argument was like, well, they can't defend themselves because he's a 250-pound linebacker.
Why the fuck would you ever attack somebody like that? I know. I'm a man. Full-grown man. And if I see a guy like Greg Hardy, I'm not going to be like, that's it. I'm going in.
Yeah.
I have every expectation that I'm going to fucking die if I go in. I'm sorry.
I understand. Stupid. Like, why? It basically, like I said, in the first place, violence is never the answer on either side, man. Don't, like I said, if you're the woman, don't go hitting him, or he's going to be hitting you, and vice versa. If you're going to be hitting her, then you're in some deep shit, man.
And I just think it's really telling what the Oklahoma County or whatever it was DA said about that Joe Mixon thing. Mm-hmm. That if this were two men, things would be different. And I'm like. That right there
why
tells
does it
you
need to be different?
The law is not being equally applied.
And that's why I brought that Holtz Claw thing up. Is like I said, it was amazing. Like, one, he was a cop. They were all black. They had some bad reputations anyway.
All white jury.
And
justice was served.
Well, you know,
and that's great.
Hey, I'm awesome.
Yeah. I mean, I sucked that it ever got to that point, but hey, a shitty cop's, you know, off the street. And again, I've got nothing against cops. I don't want that impression to be out there. I've got all.
Well, it's just like you said. If they do some bad shit, they need to be held accountable.
The law should be equally applied.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, and it's like you go after
cops,
and suddenly people are like, "Well, I support all the cops." Like, dude, we're not questioning that. You know, we're not we're not saying all cops are bad. It's just, could you please prosecute the bad ones, especially when you have evidence against them?
Yeah, and I think too that there's definitely some places in the United States right now where I'd be really reticent to be a cop.
Yeah.
Ferguson, Baltimore,
just,
for
like
one. I'm
say,
surprised some
on
of those...
your neighborhood
I'm surprised
is.
Some of those people haven't just, like, some of those cops in those places haven't just, like, en masse just been like, we're leaving. Because, I mean, the Freddie Gray thing up in Baltimore, dude, I mean, that's, like, every cop that, like, saw this dude is being taken to trial. I mean, if I were a cop in Baltimore, I'd be like, I'm not going to continue to be a cop here.
Yeah.
I feel like it's going to be assumed that I'm a criminal anytime anything happens. I mean, like I said, the Justice Department or whatever, the prosecutor, the DA in Baltimore there is just, she's swinging for the fences on all these people. Although there was just, they can't, you know, the other day on, one of the guys, the first trial to come out of this was a hung jury, so...
I did see that. I don't know a whole lot about it.
Yeah, I don't know exactly what involvement this person had. I heard from somebody, and I don't know if this is true, that this was the quote-unquote least guilty person. So the least guilty person they couldn't even arrive to a verdict at, which probably doesn't bode well for the prosecution going forward with all the other trials, because the one that should have been the easiest to determine, are they guilty of murder? It was somebody, supposed that was like, you know... From my understanding, it was somebody that should have been pretty easy to determine. Does this make you guilty of murder or not? It's pretty clear. You know, like the guy who signed out, you know, stuff or did something. You know, somebody who did paperwork. Mm-hmm. Are you guilty of murder? Because that's what they are charged with. They're all been charged, from what I understand, with second degree murder, I think. So the jury couldn't arrive at a consensus there, and it was a mistrial. So I think that's the impression was, is that going forward with they overcharged, a lot of people think. They overcharged all these people. So it's going to be really tough. But we'll see, obviously. The first, you know, result to come out of it is a mistrial. So
see what happens.
Who fucking knows? Yeah. So all right, so that's all the serious shit out of the way, hopefully. I don't know. You got something else there. I don't know how serious this is
going to
be.
Well, now that we're done with I just wanted to bring that because it was cool and crazy.
It's a really good example of what you talk about, local stuff that either doesn't get it got coverage here, but it didn't get sustained coverage that I
well even know that of. Like, they're not going to talk about it like we did. They're going to just be like, well, this guy was charged and convicted.
Sure.
And that happened.
Yeah. Which, I mean, next. Maybe they should, because, you know, I don't know how much of a, sure, an opinion, sure, I don't want to get from them. So that's the beauty of a podcast. But yeah, I get what you're saying. And I mean, I don't think you heard shit about it on the national level.
No, they didn't cover it at all. Yeah. Well, a lot of people were pissed about that.
Yeah.
Where it's just like, you didn't even get mentioned, much less covered.
Sure.
Like, you could do something, but no, they didn't. And then, hey, fine, fuck them. That's how I think about the national media versus, like, local stuff, which is kind of what I'm about to talk about here with, like, something else we're going to talk about. I saw this Thunder article, okay, and it's by Barry Trammell, which I think, do you know who Barry Trammell is?
Yeah.
Okay. I don't hate Barry Trammell. I think he's been on, does he come on, like, the Sports Animal with them sometimes? And, like,
yeah,
it talks with, what's that guy's name? Herb Street and
No.
Herb Scott. That's
Traber.
Yeah, Traber and
Ashback.
Ashback.
Yeah, which his name is. I don't even get me started on this.
Yeah, so. No. Hey, but anyway, like this is it's like some of the stuff like they bring up on their radio show where it's just like, I didn't, you know, why even talking about that? Like, this is the type of, like, article where I'm like, this type of stuff just pisses me off. And I'll read a little bit of the article. It's really short, and kind of tell you why I wanted to bring it up.
Sure.
Basically, the article starts out, and it's like, all kinds of basketball statistics are interesting, new and old. And he basically goes on to list, like, a bunch of different stats, like field goal percentage, true shooting percentage, assist-to-turn ratio, blah, 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 all these different stats for basketball, you know. It's like, but often overlooked is minutes played. I'm like, is it really overlooked? You know, I'm like,
I don't think so.
But hey, anyway, you know, that's the start. But then it says, nothing. This is the next. Nothing tells you more about a coach's belief in a player than minutes played. And then basically the rest of the article is like, he then ranks who plays the most minutes on the Thunder. From, you know, most minutes all the way down to the least. And he writes a little bit on each person.
Okay.
You know, and of course, obviously, the most minutes played is Kevin Durant.
Yeah.
I mean, that's done. But right before he said, let me see if there's anything else. Yeah, often overlooked as minutes played, the best players play the most. That's bedrock truth. Okay? Yeah, and it's just like, it's so, like, absolute where I'm like, that's what kind of pissed me off about it. I'm like, it's just kind of lazy. Like, that's not the case if you watch basketball. And he goes to kind of mention, like, oh, there's only one-dimensional players or situational players. And I'm like, yeah, that's kind of where his out is, where he's like, I'm not talking about, you know, that one guy that seems so valuable, but he only plays, like, a couple, like Nick Collison. The guy is obviously on the last leg of his career and not as talented as a lot of people in the league. But he comes in and he contributes in his certain areas and gets the role done. But that's what I was wanting. I was gonna just want to bring it up. Is like it just pisses me off because it's like it's so lazy, man. I'm like that's it. And then some of the things he says about, like, some of the comments he says about, like, these certain players, because, like, first is Kevin Durant, then it's Russell Westbrook, and then next is Serge Ibaka. Fourth. Past those three, who do you think gets the most minutes on the Thunder right now? I know we've got some new players this year.
Steven Adams?
No. It's pretty close. He was fifth. It's Deion Waiters, which I'm like, okay, that's.
He comes off the bench.
He comes off the bench, but he's been a bigger part of us. And what does he say about Waiters? Like, Waiters was traded to the Thunder. He averaged this many minutes, but the most of the games were played without Durant, so everyone's minutes rose. Waiters seems to be valued about the same by both coaches. I'm like, half these people, like, one, the way he does this article, I'm like, half these people on the roster weren't on the team last year.
Yeah.
So,
well, or why they would were you be for comparing, like the very
why
last
would you be
stretch.
Comparing about, like, how does Scott Brooks care about these players versus
and we're
how
many,
Billy
but,
Donovan
and we're also
does.
How many games into the season?
Exactly, but that's kind of what this article was about, was like, how does Scott Brooks see these people's minutes? How did he play their minutes versus Billy Donovan? I'm like, yeah. Cantor wasn't even, like, on the team, and like he just says, like, Durant wasn't even playing more than half the time.
Yeah,
that's why I'm like, seemed like a hugely lazy article where it's like, I could just list their minutes and just kind of throw it out there, and like, I'm covering the Thunder. No, you're not, man.
Yeah,
you're not really. You think you are, but you're not. And I know I'm just, like I said, I don't hate Barry Trammell.
No,
he does put some good stuff out.
I think
out.
Barry Trammell is a, I think we're actually probably here in Oklahoma, he may be our best journalist.
He really is. I'm like, name someone past him.
Yeah, I can't.
That's what I'm saying. Is
I think
like,
was, what's really? His name? Like Rohde, John Rohde or something like that. I think maybe. I haven't
is
read
he,
many
is
of
he
his.
On one of the radio stations?
Yeah, he's on the franchise.
Right, yeah, that's what I was about to say.
Which I like the franchise. Yeah. I like most of their programming.
I think that's why a lot of the franchise got going is because there was no other radio station other than the Sports Animal really covering it. I know there were like you bring up like there's like Dusty Dvorak on like AM radio and he talks about the Sooners and things like that, but past that like
well yeah, and I don't even think he's I don't think he's on the ref anymore.
I think Dvorak. He does a lot of stuff for the franchise. I don't know.
No. Dusty Dvorak, I think he's like
solo.
On Fox Sports now.
Oh, Fox. Okay.
Teddy Lehman
yeah,
is still.
Yeah, I can see that.
Teddy
yeah.
Lehman's still there doing it, and I like those two guys. I thought they were, you know, I mean, they're athletes and they have, you know, they're just like anybody else. They're like us sitting here. We got opinions, but I thought they had a good, you know, chemistry. I haven't listened to him, Teddy Lehman much, but. I mean, I liked them both. Really, you know, as far as sports radio goes around here, really the guys I just can't listen to them. I tried. I can't listen to Traber and Ashbeck. I just can't listen to those guys.
I don't blame you. I mean, I don't mind it sometimes, but it's kind of like what I was talking about, like with this article. It's like they pick certain topics and. That you have an opinion about them, but I'm like, is it really not that it's not based in fact, but it's like, does it really matter?
Yeah,
you know, I don't know how many times I know, like a few years ago we were just talking nonstop about can the Thunder get Pau Gasol off of the Lakers, and I'm like, I could go into like hours about how that could not happen.
Yeah.
From a player standpoint, from a roster standpoint, from the salary cap and his contract, all sorts of ways. Now, granted, we had a shot at him when he finally did leave because he was done with his contract. He was kind of undervalued.
He would have had to have taken so much less money.
It wasn't too much, but it was like we could only give him the mid, like what's called a mid-level exception, which wasn't as much as Chicago could offer him, and he went to Chicago to play for the Bulls. We actually did have a shot at him then, but they were always talking about getting him before that, like while he was still owed like $24 million a year playing for the Lakers, and not maybe not, they weren't saying it, but it's like I had to like listen to that radio show about people call in and them talk about like we should do that, and they would not refute it. So I'm like why don't we just put that to rest was my point. And that's what I'm talking about with this article. It's like
it does seem
basketball
like a...
is not like that. Basketball is not about, you know, oh well, this guy only plays so many minutes, so he's not as highly valued. Was Ray Allen highly valued by the Heat a couple years ago when
he made that
corner three?
I mean, yeah.
I know that was situational.
Yeah.
They were one-dimensional.
Well, I mean, look at a whole franchise that's run on that sort of mantra with the Spurs.
Exactly.
At the end of the day, when it all comes out in the wash, I mean, Tim Duncan and Tony Parker and Manu Ginobili may play the most minutes, but the way that they're used, there's games where they don't play the most minutes. So do you look at it game by game? I mean, hell, there's games here where, you know, with the Thunder, where, you know, what was it? To start the season, Billy Donovan was playing Kyle Singler and DJ Augustin. He was playing them a lot more minutes than he is now.
Yeah.
And he decided, I'm going to cut their minutes some.
Yeah.
Does that mean that
if you watch Singler, I could see why.
I mean, okay, but, you know, excuse me. Does that mean, like, you know, he doesn't, you know, value... It's kind of weird. It's hard to put a value on... I mean, granted, obviously, the guys who are starters are going to play a lot of minutes.
Yeah.
The guys who are the best players are going to play a lot of minutes. But I don't know... It's not just... Because the point I think he's trying to make is like, what is the difference between Donovan and Brooks? Like,
basically,
what did,
yeah.
Which... I don't think that totally ignores the fact that I may use them the same amount of minutes, but I use them differently. They don't work the same in my offense.
And that's kind of my point. Like that's not how basketball works.
I mean, what's Steven Adams been doing in this place? Like, I mean, the Thunder lost last night to the Cavs, which sucks, but you know, they had a 6-game stretch, I think. I mean, hell, Steven Adams seemed to be a pretty big part of our offense where, you know, he's putting up double doubles and stuff, and I think, you know, Billy Donovan's like, hey, we're going to really use this, you know, under the basket threat that we have. And we're going to use, like, you know, Cantor's coming off the bench.
Yeah. And that goes to, like, if you're not from Oklahoma and you're part of the national media, or maybe not even the media, but it's so easy to look at us and go, this is what I've heard about the Thunder. We have, you know, two of the top five players. We've got Kevin Durant and Russell Westbrook, and they're amazing. Duh. And, you know, Buck is pretty good, but, you know, it's a drop off from there. We've never leaned on him as, like, you have to be our third scoring option, Ibaka, or we're not winning. And especially look at the, like, when Westbrook and Durant have been out, we, you know, he didn't exactly step up and just start scoring 25 a game every game. Ibaka does. So,
yeah.
But that's Ibaka. We know what Ibaka is.
Yeah.
If you're the, like I said, if you're an outside perspective, you look at our team and you go, after that, we have the bottom of the barrel in the everybody else. And I'm like, really? I think that's, I think you're missing, like, look, like you're talking about Steven Adams. Before we had Steven Adams, did we have a center who was able to pass the ball and score, make a shot?
No.
And
we had
make
Kendrick
a move?
Perkins. We had Kendrick Perkins.
We had Perkins. Yeah, he was throwing bows down there on the defensive side. And that's about it.
And he couldn't make a shot really to save his life.
No. Yeah. Adams already is past that.
Oh, yeah.
And you would say his ceiling is a lot higher because he hasn't played basketball very long. He's young.
Yep.
I mean, like,
and he's got
you're totally
epic,
missing
he's got an
that.
Epic mustache. So.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. I know.
Yeah, no, I think, yeah.
But you're totally missing that. And like you said, Cantor comes off the bench, which, and it's just so, it's so easy in the NBA for people who are even, like, really into the NBA. Like, you have a narrative and you follow it for a long time until it's proven otherwise.
Yeah.
Like, with Cantor, he sucks on defense. He's just god-awful in defense.
Which I don't agree with.
And
I don't think he's
well,
not great.
You know, he could learn. He's on a different
and he's
team.
He's not great defensively, but he's not terrible either.
And I would argue, like,
he's not with Steven Adams defensively.
Yeah, I know. I would argue that he's not even needed as much for that because what he gives for you anyway, like, he gives rebounds.
Yep.
So much more
he's
off the bench. And his scoring off the bench is amazing.
Yep. And people say, like, you have to, based on how much money you pay him, you have to start him. And I'm like, why?
I know. So it was the same with Waiters. Like, look at Waiters. Waiters' fault is, like, he could be on a team with LeBron James or Kevin Durant, and they could have the ball, and he's like, hey, give it to me.
Yeah.
And you're like, dude, I don't think we're going to pass it to you right now.
Yeah.
You know? that's Kevin Waiters, or not Kevin, Deion Waiters. That's his fault.
Yeah.
But past that, look what he's doing right now. He's actually had some good games here lately where it's like he's that guy off the bench and he kind of gives us some, you know, some scoring
options.
He's
a good player.
He's a decent player, yeah. It's, he was a lottery pick. I mean, I'm not saying that guarantees you that you're amazing or anything.
Yeah,
but I mean, he's come in and he has started to fill his role that he needs to fill.
And it's important.
Exactly.
Like, I mean, it's I don't know that we've had a guy off the bench. Like, I mean, that's kind of been a big knock against the Thunder since, you know, James Harden left. Was like, you know, your bench. Well, fuck, look at our bench now. According to you know, not you, but I mean, like, people who critique us, I'm like, guys like Cantor and Waiters should be starting. They come off our bench. Our bench is strong now.
Who did we, like, before we got Cantor, who was our best big man coming off the bench?
Probably
Collison.
Yeah, Collison, yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, and you're just like, well, we just got the bottom of the barrel. I'm like, you know, screw you, man.
Yeah,
like,
no.
you're not really watching the team then. You're just repeating what you've heard a lot. That's what the NBA, we talked about this before. NBA is about that a lot, where it's like, I just say this, and that's what's been known as gospel right now, and we're going to run with it until, you know, say, playoffs comes around, and Steven Adams just dominates the shit out of somebody, and it's all on a big national stage, and we all see it, and we go, you know what? Maybe we were wrong about that guy. And that's when the narrative start to change.
Yeah.
But it can take season, two seasons sometimes. Look at the Lakers, man. The Lakers were done.
Yep.
And they traded for Steve Nash, and everyone's like, oh, on paper, they got Dwight Howard. They're a contender because they got Kobe. Well, if you know anything, you can go like, well, Steve Nash is 40. Kobe's almost done. Dwight Howard's hurt
and
is even wanting to be there.
He's just a problem, like, personality-wise.
Yeah,
have you heard the most recent thing on him?
On who?
Like, supposedly he's...
You're talking about Kobe?
Dwight Howard.
Oh, Dwight Houston. Howard. Oh, yeah, with Houston. Yeah,
it's like he's wanting out.
If I was playing with Harden, I'd want out too.
That's the thing. He wants to be the guy.
Yeah,
and I'm kind of like, say, dude,
so did Harden. But that's the thing. Like,
but that always seems to be the thing that follows Dwight Howard around, you know. And it's like, man, he's like the biggest example of unrealized potential, man. Because the dude's just, he's just built to dominate.
Yeah.
And, I mean, you know, I'm not going to knock the guy for any, you know, injury stuff. You know, okay, but what, it just seems his attitude.
And hey, that's the knock on Harden. Everyone, you know, will criticize us about that trade and how we got rid of him. But it's like, if you know anything about Harden, it's like, yeah, he wants to be the guy.
Well, hell, even Bill Simmons is coming around on that, isn't he?
I know,
he?
Yeah, but that's my point. It's like, Bill Simmons is both right and wrong, and everyone that like tries to go against him about him criticizing us about that trade is both right and wrong in the same way.
Yeah.
One, like I said, we did the right thing long term for the better of the team and our cap, and our, you know, maybe our owner wasn't wanting to spend a huge amount of money. We didn't keep Harden, and we got some value back for him.
Yeah,
but at the same time, and this is Bill Simmons' point: if we come out of this era with Kevin Durant and Russell Westbrook with one finals game win in a series, and that's it, how is that possible?
I mean,
that's pretty bad.
It's pretty bad.
So that's his point, where it's like, you could have just kept James Harden, spent a little money for him, and maybe made another run at it.
Sure.
But I mean, who's to say, you know? And plus, look at, like, we should have been back there the past couple of years. Look at injuries.
Yeah.
You know, we could have done that, yep. And like, oh, we didn't keep him anyway.
Yeah, I mean, we got a little snake bit with injuries there, yes, for a while. Yeah. So I mean,
and we're still trying to kind of work past that.
And again, I like Bill Simmons. I think Bill Simmons is one of those. I don't know. You know, Bill Simmons is kind of unique to me in that, man, I can totally disagree with the way that he goes about expressing an opinion, like, say, about James Harden. But the guy just makes sports media that I'm like, man, it's just interesting.
Yeah.
Like, so, you know, I can't fault the guy.
I like listening to his podcast.
Yeah, I can't fault the guy. So, I mean, you know.
And like I said, you know, if that does happen, I'm like, man, I can't say that you're right to complain about that.
Yeah.
Like, us only getting one finals win out of this whole era, yeah, that would suck.
Yeah,
that would suck.
But you can't. But I just think it's a little intellectually dishonest to look at the whole Harden trade and then try to apply what might happen in the future, which you couldn't have. Who would have thought that after the Harden trade, you know, Durant would be shut down basically for a whole year, Westbrook would be shut down for the next whole year, Westbrook first.
Yeah, it was Westbrook first.
Shut down for like a whole year, basically, you know, on and off. And then the next year, it'd be Durant shut down for a good chunk of the year. I mean, you can't. You can look at it and go, "I told you, I told you." But then I'm like, "Well, you didn't call any of that." So that's kind of bullshit. But if you do say that you thought the Harden trade was unwise at the time, I do think it's a bit tough to argue with you, because I think we could have gotten at least another year and still gotten a lot of value still.
Yeah.
So I agree with that sentiment. So,
well, plus, like, what I didn't finish this earlier about Harden, but like, if you know anything about Harden, it's like, look at what's wrong with him right now. When he played for us, it was like, man, like in that final series, we need you to make free throws here at the end of the game, buddy. Miss. I watched him play a couple years ago. He's on the Rockets. They're playing the Trailblazers. You know, it's a playoff series, heated game, final seconds, throws in the ball. You know what he does? Hot potato. Get it out of here. He'll throw it to somebody else. I'm like, you want to be the guy, but you're like, nah, I don't want to be the guy right now.
Yeah.
And he did it one game where it's like he threw it to the other guy, like, oh shit, get rid of it. And the other guy was like, screw you, man. And he just throws it right back at Hart. Yeah, like, what the hell? And that's what, like, a lot of his complaints are, or the players' complaints are on his team, is it's about Harden.
Yeah.
And his lack of leadership.
Yep.
I don't know if it's because he's hanging out with the Kardashian now.
Oh, they
seem
is?
To be kryptonite.
He is?
Yeah,
oh,
dude.
Jesus.
Yeah, that's what I'm like. It's downhill from there, man. That's why Kevin McHale got fired. Did you not see Kevin McHale's wife just like have this Twitter diatribe about, like, you know, it's wrong to go after Kevin McHale because we can't get fucking Harden to play defense. just ripping Harden.
Tell, she may have a fucking point.
She does. And that's what I'm saying.
Kevin McHale's a good coach.
I, you know.
I don't think he's a bad coach.
Like that, and you're talking about good coach, bad coach. It seems so hard to be like, who is a good coach and a bad coach or not. There might have been some dumb stuff he was doing, because if you're a Houston fan, people were wanting him to be fired anyway before. From an outside perspective, like we're talking about with the Thunder earlier, I don't know that, because like, I'm like, hey, it seems like he's a pretty good coach. He's know what he's doing. Maybe I don't know the insides and outs, but like, I've heard people call Doc Rivers a bad coach because look at what he's done with the Clippers right now.
Yeah,
and he's playing GM and he's just sucking at it. And like, he's not doing a lot of good strategy with their games and things like that.
Sure.
But I'm like, the guys want a ring though.
Yeah,
you know, so it's like, it's so hard to like, is he a good coach? Is he a bad? What does that really mean?
Sure,
you know?
Sure.
Like when we talk with Scott Brooks, and you know, like, well, he was a player's coach. Was he a really bad coach? They just are what they are.
Yeah,
and
give me that jacket there,
especially situations. It just depends, I think.
Yeah, no, I get you. And I agree. Well, I know a lot of people are thinking this whole Harden experiment, Bill Simmons included, is kind of not necessarily... Maybe it's coming apart at the seams.
Yeah.
And, I mean, like, you know, we kind of... I think it was our first podcast that we did. We were talking about the Thunder, and... You know, you made mention of the fact that, what was it, like, this year, or last year, year before, Harden was, like, what, second, third in the MVP voting?
Yeah,
third?
He came in second last year. Yeah.
Second, last year, okay.
A lot of people were picking them.
What a change.
Yeah, a lot of people were picking them to come out of the West.
Yeah.
Like, really? I think a lot of it was last year was kind of weird year, like, we're not in it. The Spurs got knocked out early.
And I think maybe even I have to eat a little crow, because I thought at that point, I was like, okay, I think it's been shown you can build a team around Harden. Well, maybe you can't.
Yeah.
I don't know. Or maybe you can build a team, but can you build a winner? I don't know. You know, it's starting to look like maybe you can't. So.
Who's to say?
I mean, he definitely cashed in while he could.
I know. Anyway, so. I was just wanting to bring that article up because, I mean, you know, you look at that article and, like, maybe it was just for, like, you know, hey, I'm a casual NBA fan. I don't follow this shit.
Was it like a blog post or was it like
No, it was on News OK.
News OK.
But it also just seemed like, you know, maybe it was like, you know, I got to get, like, you know, 500 words out here.
Yeah. Which, you know, hey, I don't blame a guy for that.
No, I don't either. I don't blame Barry Trammell for that. But it's just like, that's the type of, like, article where I'm like...
It does come off as a bit lazy.
Like, it's just, really, you know? Come on.
Yeah.
Like, we could do better than that, I think. Anyway, I think, you know, we hammered on about
that. Yeah, I think we beat that to death. So.
We're doing pretty good, at least as far as the season's going so far. Like you said,
yeah, we dropped that game last night.
But, hey, you know...
Did you see LeBron, like, totally demolish that golfer's wife?
Yeah, landed her on...
Yeah, she had to be, like, carted out. I hear she's okay now, so that's good.
Hey.
But yeah, dude,
not too bad for LeBron pile driving you into the
ground. Yeah.
Should be thinking second thoughts about how getting those courtside seats next time.
Yeah, really. I think let me sit a row back. Let me sit behind a retaining wall of some sort. Like, give him something to collide with before he collides with me. But anyway,
that was a good game. The only thing I want to say about that game, just since you brought it up, like,
sure.
We had Kyle Singler guarding LeBron James a lot. I'm just going to go out on a limb and say maybe not do that anymore.
Singler was guarding LeBron.
Yeah, Kyle Singler, dude, like, he's just not very good. Like, I could tell, like, at the first of the season, we were trying to, like, you know, Durant would be out there and he'd be coming off the bench and maybe Westbrook or Durant were out there and, like, at the same time, and, like, they were trying to get him involved, like, hey, take the pass and you take the shot, or something good would happen, you know, hey, slap you on the back. It's all about, you know, body language and psychology, team cohesiveness, all that stuff.
Sure.
And then Durant got knocked out and I kind of threw that off a little bit, but, like, man, he just can't. He looks like someone's like little brother out there that shouldn't be playing right now. He was like the last pick on the dodgeball team.
Wow.
And or the kickball team or whatever.
Yeah,
and
he's fat kid.
I'll say this, the best defensive possession I saw Kyle Singler do, like, he stopped somebody from scoring and I was like, wow, he stopped somebody. We know how he stopped somebody. He had tripped and it was on the ground, and the guy driving to the basket was like, oh, crap, I'm going to trip on you. I've got to get rid of the ball or jump. Oh, and basically, that was his best defensive possession. And I was like, wow, you actually stopped him from scoring, man.
Jeez.
Just saying. But, yeah, he's not, I mean, he is what he is.
Yeah.
Okay. Anyway.
Well, yeah, we'll be talking more about the Thunder as the year wears on. Well, I think we're gonna end on this.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay,
yeah,
so today it's December 18th, and last night I saw Star Wars The Force Awakens. So I'm going to give a brief, spoiler-free, so don't worry, review.
Everybody's been waiting for it.
Yeah, yeah. I've been my phone's been blowing up.
Disney's been shoving it down your throat. Yeah, it's coming out, people.
Yeah. It's good.
Okay. I haven't seen it yet, so I'll just put that out there.
Okay. It's good. In so many ways, like, if you ever watch, in my opinion, if you're a Star Wars fan or just a movie fan in general, I think it would serve you well to watch. There's a group, an outfit called Red Letter Media, who did a series of reviews of the prequels to tell you exactly why they're so bad.
And they're pretty long. Like, there's a lot of them. Yeah,
they're long and involved, and it's got this very weird character that they... That is giving the reviews, so I mean it's
very funny though.
It's
especially
funny
if you're a Star Wars fan and
yeah,
maybe share some of the same opinions.
But the reviews though I think are great.
Yeah.
But give it a look. But one of the things they harp on was that this kind of George Lucas quote when he's talking about the prequels, and he's talking about how, you know, everything's like poetry, it rhymes. Like how stuff from the original trilogy is carried back into the prequels. So I'll say this. In a lot of ways, this movie is... it rhymes with A New Hope. It's like they took a lot of stuff from A New Hope and just kind of redid it.
Okay.
I'm not saying that's a bad thing.
Yeah, that's kind of what I read a review
there's
about.
There's some
it.
Stuff from... there's a little bit of Empire too. In it as well. A little bit. It's mm-hmm. mostly a lot of New Hope stuff. And there's some new stuff, obviously. But it's and you know what? For the way that things were, I think the public's perception of where Star Wars was cinematically, I think it might have been the best thing to do. To just lay this solid foundation to now build from for a whole new franchise of Star Wars. To kind of go back to what did work, what we know worked, what everybody just talks about and adores and loves. And almost in a way retell that and then springboard into, you know, what'll hopefully be not a...
the rest of the movies they're going to make.
Yeah, which hopefully, you know, the next, you know, episode 8 doesn't quote-unquote rhyme with Empire Strikes Back. Maybe it will, though. I don't know. We'll see. I'll say this, you know, I didn't have a strong reaction one way or the other when I left. I wasn't like, oh my god, that was incredible, and I wasn't like, oh my god, it's the Phantom Menace all over again, which I think is good because I think it was just a solid movie.
Mm-hmm.
It was good.
Well, especially after the prequels, that's
yeah,
that's
I man, I went in like I was trying to check myself so much. I was like, these trailers look amazing. Don't get too excited.
Don't
because
get on the hype train.
I remember I was. When The Phantom Menace came out, I was 19, I think, and I was like, these trailers look amazing.
Yeah.
And, you know, I went in. You know, granted, the trailers weren't done the same way back then that they are now. They weren't like, you know...
You're trying to convince yourself, like, this is going to be awesome.
Well, I mean, when I...
Even
yeah,
when you're watching it, it's not, and you're like, it's going to happen,
yeah,
right?
This,
no, it's not.
Yeah, so I'll say that the new characters, I really like the new characters. The Poe Dameron character, I don't... He's not kind of in it enough to... I mean, he's not bad. I'm not saying that he's bad. It's just the two main characters are Finn and Rey. Those are the two main characters.
Okay.
And I think they do a good job of carrying the movie. However, the person who does all the heavy lifting in this movie, in my opinion, is Harrison Ford. This movie is... Harrison Ford steals this movie, in my opinion. I didn't think... The dude's 73... And I was like, dude, there's no way he can recapture that, like, old Han magic, dude.
Yeah.
There's just no way. He's too old.
He's just going to be there giving
dude,
some more
was I ever fucking
advice.
Wrong, dude? He hasn't missed a beat. He has not missed a beat, man, this guy. I mean, Millennium Falcon crushing his leg and getting in a plane crash. I don't know what Harrison Ford is made of, dude, but it's like adamantium or something, dude. Because this, I mean, he's so good, man. Every part that he's in, and he's in a lot of the movie... is just...
That's cool. He's not just like kind of cameo-ish.
No, dude. Okay. He is... The three main characters of this movie are Rey, Finn, and Han Solo, in my opinion. Kylo Ren as well. Kylo Ren is a major character.
Is that the bad guy?
Okay. He's the Sith guy Lord. Or whatever. Yeah, whatever. You want to call whatever he is. I don't think he's technically a Sith, but... I don't know because he's not a Darth. There's no Darth in front of him. So I mean, however much you want to get into the Star Wars mythos, I don't know. But he's the bad guy,
mm-hmm.
Which is pretty apparent from the fucking trailers.
Yeah.
But man, Harrison Ford is just so good. That's what I found the most. I was like, I can't believe how good he is.
Awesome. Hey, that's good.
Like this there's a lot of bittersweet stuff too, you know. It's a good flick. I'm still thinking about it, you know. It's been a day, but I'm still just kind of mulling it over in my head. And
You gonna go see it again?
Oh yeah, yeah. I'll go see it again. I think J.J. Abrams has been a good steward of Star Wars, and that is to...
Well, you notice he jumped ship with Star Trek.
Yeah.
He's
still producing it, though.
Yeah, but
he's,
I mean,
dude,
like...
J.J. Abrams made two movies. He's jumped to... Like, I mean, he's still producing Mission Impossible.
He said he's more of a Star Wars fan than a Star Trek fan, too.
J.J. Abrams is smart, dude. He gets involved in these franchises that he likes... He directs a movie. He, in my opinion, hell, dude, he either resurrects them, repairs them,
he's a good storyteller.
Yeah, and like then he like goes...
It's just, even if the...
He's a good emotional storyteller.
Yeah, like, even if the... Whatever he's rebooting, or like you said, fixing, or whatever, even if it's not great, like, he can make it...
Yeah.
...relevant, and like, okay, like, that was a good film. Good story, good plot, okay, you know.
And then he moves on to some other franchise.
Yeah.
You gotta think, he did one Mission Impossible movie, which I still say is the best Mission Impossible
movie. Which one did he do?
Mission Impossible 3, the one with Philip Seymour Hoffman is the bad guy.
I actually haven't seen that.
It's really good. I thought it was... I still think... I hated Mission Impossible 2. I really didn't like Mission Impossible 1. No, that's... John Woo did Mission Impossible 2. Yes, it's terrible. And I didn't like Mission Impossible 1, the first one, because it wasn't a Mission Impossible movie. You killed off the whole team in the first 5 minutes of the movie.
Yeah.
It just became a Tom Cruise movie.
Yep.
And while I'm saying that wasn't necessarily terrible, I was like, this isn't Mission Impossible,
man. It's just a
Tom Cruise movie.
Okay.
Yeah. And the Mission Impossible 3, what does J.J. Abrams do? The whole beginning of that movie is setting up who the team is. And throughout the rest of the movie, it's Tom Cruise as the head of the team, but he's got a squad. And they're like going about doing this mission. They're doing the impossible mission. And it's great.
I kind of want to watch it now.
And then he left. Okay. He doesn't direct them now, but he still produces them.
They made another one after that?
They've made two more. I haven't seen the newest one. I thought Ghost Protocol, not bad.
Okay.
He produced it, didn't direct it. Mm-hmm. So he put his mark on it.
Yeah.
And then he's kind of stepped back, and now I think... it's the same thing
Star
with Star
Wars
Trek.
Star Wars was calling, baby.
Yeah, like he's not directing this new Star Trek, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
Well, Star Trek was calling. For Mission Impossible. Yeah, and then he goes and directs Star Trek.
Yeah, then Star
the first
Wars
one I liked. I liked Into Darkness, too. People talk shit on it, but overall, I liked it.
Yeah.
And then he's not directing the newest Star Trek, which I saw the trailer for Star Trek Beyond the other day.
What do you think about that? You're kind of like, it's kind of...
Man, I don't know. It looks like an action movie.
It's a Fast and Furious director.
Yeah, I mean, it looks like... it looks like Guardians of the Galaxy is what I was thinking whenever the trailer's on. I'm like, is this kind of like...
Yeah, I kind of thought the same thing, yeah.
So, you know...
Hey, who knows, though? Impress me. That's how I always take these trailers anymore.
Sure,
like,
sure.
I'm no fan. Like with Star Wars, you and, you know, my wife, she's just like, they're just so hyped up on it. Like, oh my God, Star Wars, and the biggest Star Wars fan. I'm like, hey, so am I. But I just don't want to hear about it. I just want to watch the movie. Just shut your mouth.
Yeah.
And I want to go to the movie and impress me.
Yeah.
I have my own opinions. I'm tired of, like, I hate seeing some of these trailers where I'm like, damn, I just saw
the whole movie.
Probably, well, not even the whole movie, but like, that was probably the best parts of the movie. Even if it's not the whole movie or I don't get any of the plot, it's like, that was the cool parts. Or some of these trailers don't even, like, that part was in the trailer, wasn't in the movie.
Yeah, yeah.
And you're like, what?
Which I'm going to say this too, that the biggest gripe I had with Star Wars The Force Awakens was the 10 fucking previews we had to sit through before the movie even started. I mean, I'm not
paying
them
bills, man.
God damn, dude.
Paying them bills, like, getting them checks.
Holy shit, man. Everything you've seen on the internet for the past 6 months, here it is again.
Yeah,
and
I know.
Like, oh, my God, dude. And I mean, all I could say at the end
just
of the day.
Just send it to Netflix, man.
Yeah. At the end of the day, if I had to say, if I had to give like a, if I had to put a number. Well, I'll put it like this. I really like the original trilogy. I'm not a fan of the prequels. I think.
I want to be, but damn, they suck.
Yeah. I think I would put this, like, I think Empire Strikes Back is the best Star Wars movie. I'm one of those. I'm of that school of thought.
I am too.
I think the next best movie is A New Hope.
I don't really care for that one too much.
Oh, man.
Not that I don't care for it, but like as far as like you ranking them, I'm like, yeah.
I think the third best one is Return of the Jedi. I put Force Awakens right there with New Hope.
Okay.
Because it has so much in common with A New Hope.
Yeah.
Like I said, I'm not going to spoil anything, but it's just so well done. And like I said, Harrison Ford, man. That's like all the nostalgia that you're hoping for and all of the, I mean it's there, man. It's there, and
it's not too campy though, like.
No, it's okay. The only thing actually one of the things I have is that there's a lot of parts that feel a bit rushed. You know, you're kind of, but you know, I mean, brevity is the soul of wit, so mm-hmm. I don't know, maybe that's a good thing, you know, mm-hmm. for most people. But it does seem like, you know, some things like, okay, we have to go here and do this. Okay, we're there.
Yeah.
And I'm kind of like, all right. You know, I mean, it's, you know, okay, well, now we got to go here and do this. We're there.
Yeah.
And I'm like, well, okay. Because it's a lot of those moments where the in-between, like J.J. Abrams is really good at action and emotional storytelling. Anything in between, it's almost like maybe he's playing to his strengths. He just kind of...
It's an editing issue, too.
Yeah. It could be. And, you know, whenever it's like, hey, we have a chance to actually develop some characters here in a non-dramatic environment, like, you know, where they're just, you know, together being developed as characters, he just kind of skips over it. And maybe it's because, like I said, he may be playing to his strengths, and he's like, you know, like if George Lucas tried to do that in the prequels, it's just like...
They'd be sitting down on a couch having a 10-minute talk about...
And nothing. It would be just be about, you know, trade politics, and yeah. You're like, oh my God. So maybe J.J. Abrams is just like, you know what, dude? I'm just going to skip that. I'm going to develop... All the character development is going to be done in, you know, very emotional scenes or action-packed scenes. That's where you're going to learn about my characters that I've created.
I think about that a lot with, like, not just movies from the 80s, but, like, they're used to make movies that were, like, an hour and a half. And, you know, especially us, we kind of grew up on them as kids. And that's one reason we love them. But it's like, you watch them now, and it's like, they do some kind of what you're talking about. Like, there's no real transition, but there wasn't one really needed. It was just kind of, you went here, you did this, the movie went on, it was fun, cool.
Yeah, yeah.
That was what all about. I didn't need to have that. So, I mean, so you got to think about that sometimes, too, where it's like, look at movies like that. They don't make movies like that anymore, like The Goonies.
Sure.
Or trying to think of something.
The closest they do,
like I just seriously, like anytime you're watching a movie from like the 80s, early 90s, that time, and it's like an hour and a half long.
Yeah.
Like Big Trouble in Little China.
Oh yeah.
Or
oh,
just certain.
Don't get me started on how much I love.
Oh,
that
I know.
Movie.
Anyway, hey, we'll probably bring it up in the future just because we like it so much. But like
Kurt Russell, man.
But just like different movies like that, and you're like, you look at like how long they are, what they get told in story, like Ghostbusters.
Yeah.
That's, and you're like, how, like, if they tried to make a movie like that, they, like, today, like, they just don't do it.
Yeah.
Or even if they did do it, it's like, it's horrible, and it's not the same kind of storytelling.
Yeah.
And you're just like, well, they just seriously just remade this to put the name back out. And,
oh,
like,
yeah, yeah,
and make
yeah,
some money
yeah.
off of this. God damn it, I got duped again.
Yeah, yeah, you know? Duped again, yep. So, we'll go ahead and, I think, wrap this up. We're almost hour and 10 minutes here, so.
That's good.
Yeah, Star Wars, good flick. I mean, if you're a Star Wars fan, you're gonna like it. I think.
I'm pumped. I'm ready to see it.
Yeah. So, and we may need to go see it because, you know, I want to see it again. So, that should tell you everything you need to know.
Exactly.
I did not go see any of the prequels after one time. So, I want to see this movie again. But anyway, so yeah, we're gonna wrap it up here. So, as I said last time, I think if you like the whole abducting line, this is. time to reach escape velocity.
Yeah, and if, hey, if people want to get a hold of us, too, tell them about that.
UFPpodcast@gmail.com and UFPpodcast at UFPpodcast on Twitter.
It's our Twitter, you know, we're on Facebook.
And our Facebook is...
Go there to like it if you want to do that.
Was it UFPpodcast?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, so or just unidentified flying podcast.
Oh, unidentified flying podcast.
And, you know, you can search, you know, we're on iTunes, you can subscribe, or if you use something other than iTunes, you know, you can just search us under that, unidentified flying podcast.
Cool.
And you should find us.
Awesome. So, again, we're going to cut out of here. So, this has been Drew and...
I'm Brad.
And you've been listening to the Unidentified Flying Podcast.